Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. With the closure of St. Vincent's Hospital, many midwives are no longer affiliated and cannot legally perform home births without their affiliation in New York City and the surrounding areas. Brian has talked about that issue in the wake of the closure, but now there is an interesting new twist to the story, a legal update. There's a bill working its way through the state legislature that would remove the requirement of affiliation for midwives to assist in the delivery of children. It's called the Midwifery Modernization Act, and it would amend the education law in New York State to remove the requirement of affiliation for a midwife to have a written practice agreement, or a WPA, with a physician in order to practice. Supporters argue that the education and training that licensed midwives receive is what ensures quality care, not the WPA. Instead, they say it is a barrier to practice, and it also limits access to care and choice of providers for New York women and families. Opponents say midwives are licensed providers and routinely consult and collaborate with other providers. As such, they should be affiliated with a hospital in order to provide safe care to their clients. Joining me now to talk all about midwifery, the Modernization Act, its chance of success in the state legislature, and all things midwifery is Elin McAllister. She is founder of Choices in Childbirth. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm very happy to be here.
So I am guessing, given the name of your organization, I am guessing which side you come down on. Tell us and give us your reasons.
Well, Choices in Childbirth, we are focused on educating the public about women's rights and options in childbirth. And hand-in-hand with that is ensuring that they have access to all of those options. And the WPA has created a situation where access has been blocked pretty regularly. And it's becoming increasingly problematic. And one of the main reasons for that is fear of liability. A number of practitioners who would absolutely have signed a WPA in the past can't or won't now because of pressure from their malpractice insurers, for instance, who are telling them that they will lose their coverage if they provide WPAs. And these are providers who really believe in midwifery care, who often refer their own clients to midwives when it seems appropriate to them, who have been very supportive in the past, and who continue to collaborate with midwives even though they're not able to write sign off on a WPA. So the Midwifery Modernization Act is really just addressing that piece of paper that creates sort of a legal or sort of a more formal relationship between the two.
Well, what's in the WPA? What's in that written practice agreement? What's on that piece of paper? What does it look like?
Well, it basically outlines the scope of practice for the midwife, which is already defined by the midwifery law. And it, you know, basically says that she has this formal relationship with an obstetrician who is available for consultancy and hopefully available to transfer, although that's not ever guaranteed. You know, quite often, you know, if you have a transfer, it's going to be an emergency situation, and you're going to transfer to the closest available healthcare facility.
And by transfer, you mean from the midwife situation to
right.
a hospital setting.
Correct. Yeah.
Because
if indeed it's
necessary.
An out of yeah, and you know, midwives practice in all settings, home,
yes.
birth center, and hospital. So it's really a transfer of care from moving from a low-risk, normal situation to a higher-risk situation. And midwives, you know, they are highly trained, extremely professional practitioners. They are the experts in normal birthing, and part of their training is being able to recognize when a normal pregnancy or a normal labor or a normal birth begins to shift into something that is beyond their scope. They identify it early on and are extremely responsible about transferring that care appropriately. Midwives, you know, it is part of their practice to have relationships with not only obstetricians, but pediatricians and neonatologists and whomever they need to really ensure that women and babies are getting the best possible care. This written practice agreement does not ensure that at all. It's, you know, it's within the scope of practice that they're already doing this. The written practice agreement really is just proving to be a barrier.
For not only the midwives, but for their patients.
For their patients, absolutely.
I want to invite our listeners to call in on this. We want to hear from you. What is your experience with midwifery? Or if you are a midwife, have you or anyone in your family ever used the services of a midwife? And do you think that midwives should have a hospital affiliation, which is one of the major things this legislation seeks to change? 212-433-WMYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post a comment at WMYC.org on Brian's page. My guest is Elin McAllister. She's founder of Choices in Childbirth. And we've been talking about the reasons why this law would give women and families more choice, because it would eliminate one barrier, in your view, to midwifery. And with the closure of St. Vincent's, one hospital where midwives were affiliated, and of course, therefore, a major source of affiliation for midwives, without that barrier, without that affiliation, there is this added barrier. So let's talk a little bit about the facts, specifics in terms of midwifery care and outcomes. Do we see, for example, lower cesarean rates,
absolutely,
or shorter hospital stays, or higher rates of breastfeeding? Educate us a little bit about why perhaps that affiliation is unnecessary.
Well, the midwife's model of care approaches birth in a much more holistic way. It looks at the whole woman. It doesn't just look at her contracting uterus, for instance. So the midwife's model of care believes that birth works and knows that a woman's body can birth her baby. This is very different from the medical model, that where obstetricians are really trained in how to protect us in emergency situations. And thank goodness that we have access to high-quality obstetric care. We're very, very fortunate in this country to have that access. But what we've lost is that recognition of birth as a normal, natural, physiologic process that the vast majority of women are perfectly capable of doing. And so, you know, when a midwife approaches a birth, she approaches it knowing that this will happen and this can happen and that this woman can do this. And she is there and present and by the woman's side throughout her labor and throughout her delivery. And she's providing all of the emotional and physical support as well as the medical oversight. So she is, you know, walking this woman through her labor and birth and really assuring her every step of the way that she can and will do this, rather than coming in with a long list of medical interventions that are going to speed things up, make things more efficient, you know, get things following the party line, you know, which is much more the experience you have in a hospital
before a problem has ever presented itself.
Absolutely. We call it preemptive obstetrics, you know, where something might go wrong, so we're going to do something.
Anticipate everything that could go wrong. Let's take a call from Louise in Manhattan. Louise, welcome
Hi.
To WMYC.
Thank you. I had a very positive experience with two pregnancies and births, and both were with midwives, but they both ended up being cesarean because of emergency. I went to my doctor, my OBGYN, and I said, I want to give birth in the woods all by myself with my husband. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but if you want the midwife experience, and he referred me to a midwifery, it was called Midwifery Services, and they were affiliated with Roosevelt. He was affiliated with New York Hospital, and he said they're reliable. It was a group of women who I loved. I loved. I went all through my pregnancy with them, and I went to the classes, and I thought, oh, gee, this is going to be wonderful. And they said, well, we use these little rooms that are decorated with furniture. It's in actual the hospital setting, but it's like a home. And I looked at it, and it was very homey. And I said, that's fine. Okay, I can't go to the woods. I'll do this. And then the time came, and I did not dilate, and I started to lose the fluid. And it got to be 10 months, and they were waiting. We were doing sonograms, and nothing was happening. I wasn't dilating, Finally, they said, I'm really sorry. We're going to have to do an induction. We don't like to do this, but we're going to take you in, and we'll be there. So they stayed with me. The point is they stayed with me. They had their shifts of like 4 hours or 6 hours, whatever it is. And one of them was always with me when I was in the hospital, which was, in the end, the most important thing.
Right.
Because when you're in a hospital without the midwife services, you've got a random nurse. The doctor doesn't show up till the last 5 minutes. And you've got nurses coming in, nurses going out. This totally anonymous. Mm-hmm. These women, I knew them all. And they were comforting me and my husband about the whole procedure. Finally, in the end, I had no fluid left. The baby did start to go into stress. They were monitoring all the time. They said, oops, sorry, Louise, you have to have a C-section. I said, oh, no. They said, it's okay, we'll be there. And they were there in the operating room with me, and they took me through the whole thing. And then afterwards for follow-up about breastfeeding and everything, they were wonderful.
And Louise has, and you have two children,
Louise. And both, the same thing happened with the second one. They said, well, we'll try this time. Maybe you'll dilate.
Right.
I did not dilate, and the same thing started to happen.
And I have to allow Elin to comment, and I only have time for your one comment, but I want to make sure that we make clear that this legislation does not mean that midwives would not make a referral to a hospital setting.
Absolutely. And midwives will...
In the event of a delivery like Louise's.
Right. This is a perfect example of how midwives work in collaboration and are very much a part of the healthcare system, and how they provide this sort of continuous care. They are there throughout the experience. They are by your side.
All right. We will continue to follow the laws that winds its way through the legislature. We hope you'll come back and talk with us about it as it does. My guest has been Elin McAllister, founder of Choices in Childbirth. Elin, thank you very much. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, we're going to talk finance reform with Slate's Heidi Moore.